Got some money burning a hole in your pocket from that fat tax return you're getting back this year? I have a great way to help you spend it. Head over to Capital Costumes on Etsy. Etsy.com/shop/Capital Costumes. CapitolCostumes. And pick up a sweet 3D printed horror, video game, or just pop culture in general piece of artwork. The stuff is the best. So again, go to Etsy.com/shop/Capital Costumes. CapitolCostumes. Tell them I sent you. And use the code XHRPODCAST for 15% off your order.
Watch a few movies, take a few notes.
It was fun.
Of the Extreme Horror Replay Podcast, and sitting to my left is my awesomely stunning wife. Is that how you say it? Awesomely stunning wife? Yeah. My awesomely stunning wife, Nancy. I am Ben, and today we are going to cover a slightly older movie that you've probably all not seen, but know of very well.
Because of the remake.
We're not going to give it away right now. But before we do any of that, we do have a Would You Rather from our patron, Kark. And he's been sitting on this one for actually a couple weeks. So I'm going to hit you with that Would You Rather. This is a painful one. Would you rather pull off your own thumbnail with a fork or put a toothpick under your big toe and kick a wall? Either one sounds incredibly painful.
Yeah, they both sound like they would inflict the same amount of pain. It doesn't matter what hand.
I don't think it matters what hand. I think it just either thumbnail. Or either big toe.
I would have to say thumbnail, just because if I did it to my toe, it would hurt when I walk.
Right.
And if I did it to my left hand, my thumb, I don't really, you know.
Don't really use that for anything. Because you're right-handed when you write. You're right-handed when you're clicking the mouse. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I have lost my left or my right thumbnail before due to an unfortunate work accident. So I know how that feels. However,
you got it smashed though. You didn't have anything like
driven into it. It did pull off though, eventually.
But it was smashed. Nothing was driven into it.
That has nothing to do with your thumbnail.
Using a fork. You would have to use a fork and drive into it to get the thumbnail off.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. You'd have to go like under and then like pry it up.
Yeah, you can't just take a fork and like
dig at it.
Yeah. You got to get underneath that nail bed down into the quick.
All right. Okay. So then if you're thinking about the toenail and the toothpick, you'd be able to pull that out right away after you kick. But I mean, a toothpick, like that's what, 2.5-3 inches long?
Yeah.
That would go like all the way into your toe.
And I don't know if this would make it worse, but like when you trip, or you hurt your toes, that always takes longer to like reach your brain that it happened.
Yeah, that's true.
So
you'd kick the wall and you'd be like, okay, yeah, okay,
and then the pain would like, yeah.
Okay, so you're definitely going with thumbnail.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. If I had to pick, yeah. All right. I've lost the thumbnail before. I know what that feels like. Yeah. I'll just. Yeah. Where was I? So yes. If I've lost the thumbnail before. If I was going to choose again, I think I would, yeah, I would go with the thumbnail, like you said. Probably on my left hand, because that's my non-dominant hand. I don't like the idea of going under it with the fork to pry it off. You how don't think there's...
You how
don't,
else would you use a fork to pry it?
You don't think there's any way you could just, like, grab it right by the quick and, like, jam it in there and then just, like outwards? Probably not. Not sharp enough to get through the nail.
No.
All right.
No, you'd have to go up underneath the nail.
Why would you think of that? All right. Okay. Yeah, I'm going with the thumbnail. I don't like the idea of it. The idea of going underneath the nail in either scenario is disgusting, but
I don't like it because like my nails are like super short right now. And I've tried to get this necklace off using the little clasp.
Yeah.
And every time the little thing on the clasp goes down into my thumbnail, it kills. That's why I'm wearing this necklace still.
Because you just haven't been able to take it off.
It just hurts.
Okay. You know, you could ask me to take it off for you.
You can't. If I can't get it, you can't get it.
Why wouldn't I?
Because your fingers are too big.
I untangled your necklace just last night.
Okay, I'll let you handle it. We'll see how you do.
Yeah, probably do better with the necklace than I do with the bra. I mean, not my own bra, your bra.
The man's ear. Yeah.
It's the bro.
The bro.
All right. So, okay. Yes, Mark, there is your answer. I'm sorry, Kark. There is your answer. We are both picking the fork and thumbnail. As unfortunate as that seems or is. But the
mother fork and thumbnail.
Yeah. What?
You said the fork and thumbnail?
Yeah.
It just made me think of motherfucking thumbnail. Mother fork and thumbnail.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. I thought that was funny.
I'm caught up now. So, the movie that we watched was Death Game from 1977. Scores a 5.4 on IMDb. I have no idea where you can find this movie other than the Blu-ray that we have. I do know that most of you will probably know this movie better by the 2000 Knock Knock 15. From Eli Roth.
2015.
Was it 2015? Okay. Mm-hmm. So you would probably all know this movie better by Knock Knock from 2015, directed by Eli Roth, which
starring Keanu Reeves.
Starring Keanu Reeves, Anna. I'd always forget how to say her last name. D'Armas.
Marilyn Monroe.
D'Armas.
D'Armas. I don't know. Yeah.
And Eli Roth's wife, or ex-wife. Wife at the time, I believe. But anyway, so yeah. Death Game was the original Knock Knock. I think slightly better, not quite as annoying. The female characters are just as annoying in Death Game as they are in Knock Knock. However, the main character, or the male protagonist, isn't quite as bad of an actor as Keanu.
You think so?
I don't. I just, the whole free pizza thing, the whole, like.
I think that the reason why people like the 2015 one is because you don't picture Keanu Reeves as being, like, a bad guy. And when he turns out to do stuff that, like.
Well, he's definitely, I mean, yeah, he's he's one of those actors that, like.
He's always a protagonist.
Well, he's always a protagonist, but I mean, and as far as, like, his real life, if he's taking a picture with, like, a female fan, mm-hmm. you can always see his hand is, like, floating instead of, like, actually
on the female. He just seems like a really nice guy. The guy from Death Game, the guy from.
Shackelford
from Indecent Proposal.
Yeah.
And from Honeymoon in Vegas.
See, I don't remember that one, but I definitely remember Indecent Proposal.
He was at the poker table.
Okay. So, but yeah, so you think Keanu was better in the role than Shackelford? I don't even know his real name.
I think that with Keanu being in that role, it kind of tore you up when you saw that he was, like, failing.
Cheating on his wife.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah.
Okay.
It was definitely more
impactful.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. That's a valid point. So, but yeah, so this movie is the original Knock Knock, directed by some guy starring, Tackleberry's wife, Tackleberry from
Colleen Camp.
Yes. Who was actually in Knock Knock. She was the massage therapist that came to the door.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she's Tackleberry's wife, from Police Academy. She was also on,
she's been on a lot of stuff.
What was it? Die Hard with a Vengeance. She was the female cop in the van or in the,
she's on Valley Girl.
Police. Who was she on Valley Girl?
The mom.
Oh, married to the neo-Nazi from Falling Down?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So yeah, you'd recognize her, obviously. The other woman, again, I'm going to refer to you. You said she was on Smokey and the Bandit, or?
No, she was on Every Which Way But Loose. And on that movie, I didn't even know she was on any other movies.
Okay.
And Every Which Way But Loose is on Clint Eastwood, and then Clyde the Orangutan.
Yeah.
She played like the damsel in distress, and she worked as like a singer in a honky tonk bar. And okay. OMG, she is a horrible singer. And you just have to think, once you know that that was Clint Eastwood's girlfriend, like on the sly.
Yeah.
You're like, that is how she got the part, because she is such a horrible singer.
So in real life, she was Clint Eastwood's
girlfriend? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Now who was Clint Eastwood married to? Or do you know?
Now?
Then.
I don't know.
Well, why would she be on the sly then?
Well, I mean, on the sly as opposed to, like, in real life, beyond the movie.
Okay. Okay. All right, then I get that. So, yeah. So she only got the part because she was with Clint Eastwood then.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
What was her name? Sandra?
I don't know.
Sandra something.
Tackleberry's wife and the other one.
Yeah. if you watch Every Which Way But Loose, or Every Which Way You Can, which I don't think she's in that one, but the first one, great movie. Awesome movie.
Is that the one with Chola?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have seen it. It's been quite a while. He's got the fake painted eyebrows or whatever.
Yeah, No, he doesn't have any eyebrows.
Okay.
We're going to have to watch it just so you can see how bad of a singer she is. Because it's hilarious.
All right. If we can find it, we'll give that one a watch.
And she's like singing, like I said, in the honky-tonk bar. And people are actually listening to her. Like, you know it's a movie, because... In real life, people would be throwing like fruit and
tomatoes,
yeah.
So, yes, the movie starts out, and George and his wife, George is obviously the husband, the main protagonist. They're playing croquet in the backyard. The wife ends up leaving for a vacation, and George it's his 40th birthday. And now there's subtle differences between this movie and Knock Knock, but basically the plot is pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
Donna and Jackson, which just occurred to me, Donna Jackson, wasn't she a singing? Donna?
Huh?
I'm totally thinking of Donna Summer. Or Donna Jackson, wasn't she a singer?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
Strike that from the record then.
I'm sure there has been a Donna Jackson.
Okay.
And I'm sure that she probably did sing at some point.
All right. So Donna and Jackson are the two girls, and they show up soaking wet because it's raining out, and he lets them in. And of course they dry off, and they're all being like sensual and, oh, you know, like, thank you for the, thank you for the towel. And
even though he's gross, he thinks because he has the porn stash that he's like,
he
thinks he's like a ladies man.
Well, in the 70s, I mean, come on, that stash, free mustache rides. So as they're drying off, they call a cab and they call their friend and say, hey, we're going to be late. So, you know, can you cut us some slack here or whatever? And they're drying off. And then Tackleberry
Colleen Camp.
I don't even remember which one was which. One of them wants to show the other this apparently huge bathroom with a giant jacuzzi tub and...
Is it Sandra Locke? Sandra Locke?
Okay. Not Sandra. So which one was which?
She was Agatha.
What's their last name?
Or... Jackson. Agatha Jackson.
Okay, so Jackson.
And the other one, Tackleberry's wife, was Donna.
Okay. So Tackleberry's wife wants to show who is Donna. Tackleberry's wife is Donna. And Jackson is the other one. Donna wants to show Jackson this giant bathroom that George has. It's got a hot tub in it. It's got the big old stand-up shower and everything. So they go into the bathroom. And for whatever reason, George follows them in there. And immediately, the 70s porn music starts playing.
Yeah.
And they start stripping off their clothes. And then they go to George and they start stripping off his clothes. And there's like this extended scene of bodies mushing together in this jacuzzi tub.
Orgification.
There's boobs and there's butt and there's like mustaches and all sorts of like 70s just, you know, getting it on music going on. And
I don't know. Like, my first thought was, ew, he's gross.
Well, right, because... Now, it says it's his 40th birthday, but I think there's he was 50-some-odd years old.
There is no way he was 40 in that movie. No so, way at all.
So, as they're having this hot tub orgy, of course, you got, like, the psychedelic, you know, like, red overlay on the screen, and then it's yellow, and it's green, and it's, I mean, it's very 70s trippy. And... They end up having sex, obviously, in the tub, and they spend the night. Now, of course, George feels like a total heel, but so he wakes up in the morning, and the girls have stayed over. They are making a complete and utter mess of breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're eating like pigs. They got piles and piles of pancakes and eggs and bacon and ham and all sorts of shit. And they're dumping syrup all over the place. Mm-hmm. And just making a...
Just like on the modern version. Just,
yeah, exactly. Now, he didn't have a pet. He had fish, which comes up later, but he didn't have the dog like Keanu did in Knock Knock. But... So they're stealing his clothes. They're threatening not to leave. The girls claim that they're both, or one is 15 and one is 17. So it's like, you know, oh, you had sex with us. That's statutory rape. Mm-hmm. And they just, I don't think they're nearly as destructive in this movie as they are in the remake. Like they're not, like in the remake, they're trashing all the artwork. Very loosely.
Yeah.
that shit was not
we'll,
art.
Yeah, we'll get that going was... on The Ugly Wife that is a great artist, allegedly.
that was just fucking paper mache bullshit. So I don't think they're nearly as destructive as they are in Knock Knock, but they are very much just as annoying.
Mm-hmm. Obnoxious, just, acting like kids.
Yeah, like... I mean, they're knocking shit over, but they're like mostly just like screaming and yelling and, you know, doing all that kind of crap. And they get more and more annoying as the movie progresses. And at one point, George finally convinces them to, you know, he says, okay, listen, what we did was wrong. I'm going to take you guys wherever you want. You pick some place to go and we'll go. So they actually end up going to San Francisco. George drives them to San Francisco. And then George ends up driving home the same day. And somehow they get back to, or did he spend the night in San Francisco? He must have spent the night in San Francisco because
yeah, I remember.
The girls somehow get back to his house first. They mace him or pepper spray him. I think back then it would have been mace, right? Pepper spray is kind of a new...
Yeah, probably mace.
Yeah. So they mace him, they knock him out, and then they tie his ass up.
And they can do this because they have the power because they have the upper hand.
Well, right.
Underage and...
Underage, and that's the other thing. I mean, these girls are clearly not 15 and 17. I mean, like, Donna had... her own mustache. Actually, Jackson had the mustache. Donna, yeah, I don't know. But they're very clearly not 15 and 17. Much like the original or the remake, Knock Knock, they were not 16 and 17 or 15 and 17 or whatever. So you can clearly tell that, you know, obviously they're just making this shit up. But Donna ends up beating George, tells him that she loves him and wants to be his bride, and she wants to have his kids, and she wants to just, you know, make a home for themselves and all this kind of crap. And it's
so, as you know, doing a podcast is a labor of love. We love you, and you love to listen to us. If you'd like to love us a little more, you can visit our newly created Patreon at patreon.com/XHR podcast and consider maybe donating to the show. You get some cool stuff in return, so it's not for nothing. Or you can visit our T Public store, order up a shirt, a mug, a sticker, a magnet, a pillow, a mask, a phone case, you name it. Head on over to our T Public store and pick something up for yourself today. The easiest way to get there is to go to our Instagram page, XHR_podcast, click the link tree in the bio, and get to it that way. I'd like to give a very special shout out to our first patron, Mark, from A Podcast on Elm Street.
Thank you, Mark, for being our first. Essentially, again, if you've seen Knock Knock, it plays out exactly the same in Knock Knock. They do like this dress-up montage. There's more beating of George. They drag him downstairs. They're dumping milk and flour and eggs and ketchup.
Just completely trashing his house.
And at this point, yeah, they're like, he's tied up on the ground floor, and they're like two stories above him or one story above him, and they're like standing over the railing and they're dropping shit down on him, like all this different food and stuff. And I'm using my hands to talk again, but nobody can see us. So, yeah, they're dumping milk on him. And this is all, you know, they're like 10, 12, 15 feet above him. They're dropping milk on him, eggs, flour, ketchup, tomatoes, you name it. And they end up calling, they actually call for a grocery order. And the grocery guy comes and delivers the groceries. George is still tied up at this point, and he starts yelling back and forth, or he starts yelling for help. The grocery guy hears him. I need you to help me out here. The grocery guy hears him, and he goes looking through the house for George. The girls follow him. Or did I say, what did I say? Did I screw that up? The grocery boy hears George yelling for help.
Mm-hmm.
The girls follow him, attack him, the grocery delivery boy, knock him out. And then they drown him in this, like, what, 7,500-gallon, like, plexiglass or Lucite built-in fish table or fish tank table.
Yeah.
It's like the tank actually sits on the floor, but then it's got, like, a clear...
Totally 70s.
I would have killed for something like that. And I love his... I like the style of the 70s houses.
Yeah.
70s and mid 80s.
I like the sunken living room.
Sunken living room. I love that.
That's really cool.
We never had one. I always wanted one. We could have had that at the old sub, but it was too expensive. So they knock this guy out. They drown him in the fish tank table. And they just kind of like, I mean, they leave him there. And really, this is the only like... gore. I mean, not even gory. I mean, it's just, you know, he's bleeding out of his nose, and basically that's it.
This was violent, like,
yeah, violent. right. So much like in the remake, the girls decide that they're going to have a mock trial against George for lewd sex acts.
that they initiated.
See, okay, you say that,
mm-hmm.
but But then you come down on George or Keanu for following through with it.
Well,
so whose side are you on?
I'm not on either of their sides. And I'll tell you why. They were just as disgusting for doing what they were doing as the married man was for falling prey to their advances.
Okay.
We're supposed to feel bad for George. George?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like you can't feel bad for him because he made his bed, he's got a lie in it.
Right.
And then you get these girls that are like incredibly obnoxious that set him up, so you don't want to be on their side. I mean, we're not going to feel sorry for these kids.
Okay.
You know? So, and I think that's one of the things, like the disturbing thing about the whole plot of both movies right. is that there isn't really a motive, and the only
I think the only motive that the girls ever say is just that they want to see if they can get away with seducing a guy.
And that's not really a motive. I mean, you know.
Kind of, sort of, but yeah, I see your point.
So the terror or the horror or the thriller lies in the fact that A, the girls have really no solid reason to do what they're doing.
Right.
And B, the fact that a married man is going to be so stupid, he's going to think about one thing and one thing only with his little head. So at the end, you're kind of like, yeah, those little shits were bitches, but he was the one that couldn't control himself as the adult, the married adult.
But obviously they're not 15 and 17.
Well, we don't know that. And like, just like with Knock Knock, we don't really know how old supposed to be.
No, I mean, they never specifically like show their age, but and they say that they're 15 and 17. But I mean, okay, to that point, you can very clearly tell that Donna and Jackson are older, obviously.
I think that you have that in your head because you're only used to seeing her as an older actress.
There is no way, just like George wasn't 40.
Remember on, was it Psycho 4? The woman, the mother on Psycho 4?
No.
Okay, so the mother on Psycho 4 was the teenage girl from Romeo and Juliet. The original one from 1970-something.
Okay, I remember you telling me this story, but go ahead.
But everything that you see her in now, like, she was on Psycho 4, and I think she was on something else, too. I think she was on Stephen King's It, the made-for-TV version.
Yeah.
But you can't think of her as, when you look at her, like, if you see Stephen King's It in Psycho 4, and then you go back and see her in Romeo and Juliet, she may very well have been 15 years old or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you're always going to see her as an older actress because that's what you're used to seeing her as.
Okay, I'm looking it up now. Well, CCH Pounder. Olivia Hussey?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, she's been in a whole bunch of stuff. She was in Black Christmas, Romeo and Juliet, Death on... Let's see. She was also in... I believe she was in...
Was she on It?
Let me... I'm looking it up right now.
I know she was on Psycho 4.
Yeah, she was in Psycho 4, Ice Cream Man with Ron Howard's brother, Clint Howard. Yes, she was.
Okay.
That was Audra... Okay, she was Bill Denbrough's wife.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. Wow, okay.
But see what I'm saying? If you were to watch Romeo and Juliet with her being young,
yeah,
you would be like, she's not 15, because you're thinking in your head that she's a grown woman.
Right.
From what you've seen her in.
Okay, so she was in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I had no idea. All right, okay. So, wow. Yeah, she was in a lot of stuff. Okay. So you're saying you look at her in, like, Stephen King's It, or you look at her in Romeo and Juliet, and you just kind of always see her as that young?
No.
But
the
exact
opposite. I knew her as the woman from Psycho 4 and Stephen King's It.
Okay.
And then when I found out that she was in the original Romeo and Juliet, and she was supposed to be playing this, were they 14, 15 years old? It didn't seem like she was that young. It seemed like she was an older woman playing a younger girl, but I don't think that was the case.
Okay. Okay. So, okay. I understand what you're saying now. Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at the women in this movie, and even though they say they're 15 and 17, I can very clearly see that they're not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know they're not because they're nude and part of the movie, which I think it would totally be illegal.
Well, yeah.
So what I'm thinking is that they're just using the 15 and 17 as a way, much like in Knock Knock, to try and pin something on the male that may or may not be true.
But there's something to be said for the fact that in both movies, not once do they ever confirm their actual age.
That is true.
So you have no...
I mean, obviously you have only no have choice. To go yeah. by what they're saying.
Right.
Or go by what they're saying. I don't know. I just think that, I don't know. I don't know. So, yeah. Now I'm totally confused. So, okay. The girls have a mock trial against George. Also, much like in Knock Knock. And his charges are lewd sex. I have a very strong lisp. Lewd sex acts with a minor, and then they put him through more psychological torture. But you know, they're talking about, you know, they're gonna kill him, they're gonna castrate him, they're gonna do all this stuff, they're gonna tell his wife, they're gonna tell his kids, all his friends, and all this stuff. And of course, then they come back with a guilty verdict. I mean, obviously, because they're holding the court.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to, or they go off and they're trashing the house some more, and they come back to, and see, this is the part that I don't understand. They have claimed that he's guilty, but then Donna, who's the blonde, Tackleberry's wife, she comes back to try and seduce George again. Now, he's obviously tied up. Like, he's tied up. He's got his arms spread. And he's like tied up, I guess it would be like right in front of, it looked like a fireplace or something. Like mm-hmm. he was tied up to these columns right next to the fireplace. And they knock his ass out again. And then they got this big ass fucking hourglass. And they tip it over and they said, okay, your time starts now. And you've got until dawn before we execute you. And then, you know, so the time runs out of the hourglass, and they tip it over, and they're like counting down by the hour. You've got 1 hour left. You've got 2 hours left.
Mm-hmm.
Or you've got 4 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours. And at this point, it's not funny, but it's funny. Meanwhile, oh, there is an animal. Yeah, because the cat. Apparently, this cat has been roaming through the house this whole time. That they're creating all this chaos and this mess and everything. And the cat comes up and it rubs up against one of the girl's legs. And I don't remember which one it was, but they pick the cat up. They're petting the cat. They're petting the cat. They're petting the cat. And then they just chuck that fucker through a window. It's not funny, but it's funny. So
I think we're supposed to feel at that point that they're absolutely just completely heartless.
They just, I don't know if it's revenge from George or revenge to the wife or whatever, but yeah, they just chuck this cat through the window. And you actually see the cat smashing through the window. But you never, I mean, you don't learn if the cat dies or anything like that. So we'll just assume that the cat's alive.
But again, something like that, it's like laying the groundwork for the viewer to feel sorry for George. And he has no right to be felt sorry for.
No, I don't think he does. I don't think he does. But like you said, I mean, you can't feel bad. Like, okay, so it's one of those catch-22s, you know? Or which track do you take? Do you kill the 10 people or do you just kill the one? And because like... Okay, yes, you feel bad you feel bad for George because he was seduced.
I don't feel bad for him.
Well, let me finish my point. You feel bad for George because he was seduced by these two girls, even though he's a married man. And you're like, oh, you know, maybe he's not so much at fault because they came on really strong.
Hold on, let me finish.
Let me finish. So then you're like, okay, wait, there's this married guy and he is taking advantage of these two younger girls. And, you know, he has no right whatsoever to be sleeping with these two girls because he's married.
It's not even him taking advantage of them. It's the fact that he went along with them taking advantage of him.
Okay. So who's more at fault?
He still is.
Is he more at fault than the girls?
He's just as at fault.
Okay. So that's what I'm saying. You can't not blame any of them.
I felt like you were kind of trying to lean towards the give them a break kind of.
No. And that's why I said they are both just as guilty as the other.
Well, but yeah, that's what I just told you.
Right. But like, and because you didn't let me finish, you interrupted me and you didn't let me get to my point. The point is that you feel bad for both of them, but then you don't feel bad for both of them because of what they had done.
See, I have to disagree. I don't feel bad for either of them at any time in the movie.
You're just a cold, heartless woman.
Do any of them glean any kind of sympathy from you? I don't have any sympathy for him. I don't have any sympathy for them. The only thing I have sympathy for is the cat.
Okay, so they throw the cat through the window, and then they trash the fish tank. Not the big fish tank table, but another fish tank that was just off to the side. I don't know why you needed two fish tanks.
I think in the 70s, that was like the epitome of cool. If you were like happening, you had like you had a big old fish tank in your house.
Well, he had that giant table, which, yeah. I mean, I'd kill for something like that. Maybe not kill a cat, but, you know. So, so at dawn, after they trashed the fish tank, the smaller fish tank, and chucked the cat through the window, that's never not fun to say, they grab a cleaver, they're acting like they're going to kill George, and then they just bring the cleaver down and like bury it in a pillow next to his head. This is where the movie really veers off from the remake. And I'm not sure why Eli Roth would have done the very end of this movie differently than the original, but the two girls walk off. George is still tied up at home, but the girls are walking off down the street and this van comes ripping around the corner, bright yellow van, big ass green letters on the side that says SPCA van. And SPCA stands for the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. And the very last scene of the movie is the two girls getting hit from a POV view of the driver of the van. And then the credits roll. So I don't know why Eli Roth would have done the ending differently, knowing Eli Roth in his movie, Knock Knock, than they did in this movie.
Eli Roth decided to bring in the wife as a character in the movie.
Right.
And you know how I feel about the wife. She's, you know.
Well, right. And I think with Eli Roth, I think that was just because I think he wanted to show that Keanu Reeves was more of a family man than George in the original. So you feel worse about the whole situation in Knock Knock than you do in Death Game. Or maybe you hate Keanu Reeves more.
See, what was conjured up in me was, so the two girls saw a picture of Keanu Reeves' wife.
Right.
And they were like, oh my gosh, she's so pretty, so gorgeous. And you're looking at the picture and you're like, are you kidding me?
No. Didn't work.
Yeah. So then you're kind of like, why are they saying that this woman is so gorgeous when she's quite clearly not?
Right.
And then you kind of get mad at that because she's supposed to be this great artist with this big blobs of like.
That's like, what I said, paper mache bullshit.
Just a whole bunch of just columns of crap and paint and all that. But it's AKA art.
Our 7-year-old niece does better art than her.
And she's supposed to be this, not only this great artist, but also this great beauty. And you're kind of like, nah, I'm not buying it.
I think the only thing that I can't even say that it works, but because she's what, from South Africa or I don't know, but
Hispanic. It sounded like they were speaking some sort of.
I don't think it's Hispanic. I think it's South or Dutch.
I feel like they were speaking Spanish.
Denmark.
I feel like they were speaking Spanish.
I don't know. Maybe it was Spanish, but Yeah, to your point, the wife in Knock Knock, yes, not a good artist, not a good looking or good looker. And well,
but they want you to think that. And I don't like when a movie tries to make you think one way when quite clearly your brain is telling you, use your common sense. I don't like to feel like I'm being manipulated.
But like to your point earlier, you said that Keanu Reeves is, you know, he's a generally in most movies and in real life is a good guy.
Yeah. And that's what was, it was disturbing to me to know that he was in this role. He's an actor. He's going to take roles. Maybe he was trying to like, you know, show his range or whatever. I don't know. He's an actor in his own right. He doesn't need to do that really anymore, but it was disturbing.
He's not a very good actor though.
Well, be that as it may, it's disturbing when you just see him and all everything that he's been in, like Bill and Ted's and, you know, Parenthood. You kind of like, he's endearing. And then he's in this movie and you're just kind of like, what in the hell happened?
And I think that because of the movies, like you said, the kind of the goofball off the wall movies.
Mm-hmm. Plus you hear that he's this great humanitarian in real life.
Yeah. And I think it was just a way to show that like, hey, I can do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that was the most disturbing part for me, was making such a nice guy into
a jerk,
a pervert.
So the gore score for both of us, I think, is going to be really, really low.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of gore.
I would say a 1 for me. What about you?
Yeah, probably about a 1.
Because there's really, I mean, they beat George up a little bit. They do kill the grocery delivery boy and stuff him into the fish tank table, but it's not really gory or bloody. I mean, like I said, the guy's got a bloody nose, but that's about it.
They did do something with the guy that was, maybe it was the wife's like manager, or he was coming. He had something to do with her career as an artist, remember? The guy came.
Thinking about Knock Knock, not Death Game.
Yeah.
We're not talking about Knock Knock. We're talking about Death Game.
I thought we were using them as one and the same. Sorry.
No. We didn't watch Knock Knock.
Then why in the hell are we talking about Knock Knock so much?
We're comparing it, but we're still ranking this one.
All right. So,
yes, this was a 1 on the gore score. What did you think overall of this movie?
Overall, I thought it was the original version, I'd give it a 2. I don't really ever have to see it again.
Right.
We've
watched Knock Knock, what, 3, 4, 5 times?
Why are you bringing up Knock Knock? We're not talking about Knock Knock. We're talking about Death Game. You don't like it being done back to you.
No, we're still talking about Knock Knock, but we're not ranking Knock Knock.
So it's okay for you to talk about Knock Knock, but not me.
No, we are talking about Knock Knock, but we're not ranking Knock Knock.
You're already irritating me.
Okay, so Death Game, you're only giving a 2 because you're not gonna watch it again.
Yeah.
Okay. What I was saying is that we have seen Knock Knock more than we've seen Death Game. And you would probably watch Knock Knock again.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what yeah means.
I just said we weren't ranking Knock Knock.
All right.
All right. So, yeah, okay. I only give this, like, yeah, a 4 maybe overall. It wasn't a bad movie, but I think the modern version was better, even though, I don't know, it changed it up a little bit, but it was a little bit better. So, yeah, find us on Instagram at XHR_podcast. We're available to listen to on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the major podcast platforms. Okay, so yeah, that's all. I'm screwed up now. Yeah, all right, that's all. Take care. Be good to one another, or drive safe or something.